Hello.
Hello.
Sound happy. Sound like a happy guy.
I am so happy and not at all tired and ready to just, do my best.
Well, what else could we ask of you other than trying?
Didn't say I was gonna try. Just gonna do what I gotta do.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Can I opt to do not then?
Well, it'd just be kind of lonely if I explain the entire movie. So this week we
Can before you even, I don't want to explain the whole movie because
no.
there's too much.
Also, I don't think I could explain the whole entire movie because that would seem to suggest that I have some knowledge.
We can explain the movie by asking a lot of rhetorical questions to no one.
Yes. Because there's just a lot of question marks that this movie leaves
And
you with. And not in like the, oh, they'll revisit this and expand on it later. Just like a, why did we have that scene? What was the point of this shot? Was that a necessary choice to have somebody be naked for that? But anyway, this is a weird thing. Now, neither you nor I had seen this movie prior to the past 24 hours, where we were putting together the final nail in the Predator coffin on this joyous day. So we had speculated about this being not such a great movie, even though we hadn't seen it, and that perhaps we should watch the others first to make sure that we properly ramp up to exactly what it is, so that we have everything fresh in our minds, as well as fresh as it can be.
Oh, so
And
to make sure that we properly understand the through line for the franchise.
yes, because we need to be well versed in the Predator cinematic universe.
No. I mean, it was fairly obvious, I think, before we started that we hadn't heard much about this movie since it came out sometime last year, September
September,
14th,
almost a year.
2018. That's never a great sign, and it's whatever, it's got a low Rotten Tomatoes or something, but who cares? Rotten Tomatoes are stupid. But yeah, this I don't know if I felt optimistic or just kind of I don't know what I felt about Shane Black being involved in The Predator again. I guess, if there was somebody to sort of to steward the franchise back towards the original I don't know, intention or themes, maybe he would be the one, because he was in it in the first one, and then he went on to be a writer and director and did some stuff that we kind of like. Although, I mean, anytime I hear Shane Black is involved in writing and directing something, I'm happy but also sad, because he's fairly rambly as a filmmaker, but sometimes in a fun way. Like The Nice Guys is fun, even though it is very circuitous route to get from A to B to C, which is fine. It's fine. It's a Shane Black movie, but when you think of the Predator franchise, you don't think a buddy cop story set during Christmas time, probably with a small child involved. But that's what he does, and that's what he did, kinda. I mean, there's less buddy in this movie than some of the other ones. I guess maybe he took away the two person buddy cop thing that he normally does and turned it into like a six person buddy cop thing. And then
And
also Olivia Munn is there.
it's not Christmas.
Well, it's undisclosed Christmas. I'm sure like a
It's
year down the
Halloween,
line he's gonna
Dan.
be like, "Oh, that's right, you're
They
right,
go
it is Halloween."
trick-or-treating.
Oh boy. So, at least it's still fall in Shane Black's universe here,
did
but
you did you watch the movie?
I did. I was there. I'm tired. The Halloween was 2% of the content of this movie, so
Oh, it was not connected to anything. They just have it there so they can have one shot of the kid with the helmet doing the thing. But so let's.
I mean, that was the only time in the movie I actually giggled when the mask shot the kid on the balcony. But mostly out of surprise, but also because it was a little funny.
Yeah. But the this is. I'm not a Shane Black fan so much. I mean,
a black
I like.
File?
Well, I was trying not to go that route, but I am. I like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Even though it has some regressive moments, and I like The Nice Guys, even though it has some regressive moments, and then Iron Man 3 is fine. It's a mess, but it's fine. And you got your other stuff in here just mixed in with his repertoire of things. So I don't always have like a incredibly positive thing. And just because somebody was in the original movie, I don't necessarily think it follows that they would be the logical choice to continue, or they would preserve the franchise, you know, magic juice or whatever. Like I think this movie that we just watched bears that out to be the case, because even though Shane Black is involved and wrote it, it is again another entry in the Predator fan fiction pile. It has more comedic moments, or moments that are written to be comedic, than I think you could say about the AVP movies or the Predators movie. And in terms of trying to, I guess, deal with the series canon such as it is, he's selected to somehow have this movie take place after the second Predator movie, but before the Predators movie, that we watched the prior week. This is supposed to be, I guess, a prequel to that one. In there somewhere.
Is there evidence that it comes before Predators?
It is something that he said in the thing.
Oh, well,
so yeah, but the only real evidence, I guess you could say, is the big Predator, kind of, but even that is different because those Predators and the other one aren't that big. So I don't necessarily understand why that needs to even be connected. I feel like somebody should just have gone in and say, you know, clean slate, because when you're dealing with stuff like Predator 2. Which I know is a fan favorite for Todd Vaseri, Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, Todd Vaseri. But it is not, it's not a good movie, and that's written by the original writers. It deals with global warming and a near future situation. Remember the hottest it's been in Los Angeles on record, causing violent crime waves.
I remember it being hot. I don't remember the heat causing the crime waves and that being the reason for the Predator, but I thought it was just like dangerous city.
No, they specifically harp on the heat and global warming stuff, and it's near future and weird. So to say that all is somehow all true and part of this makes it pretty strange. And you even have Jake Busey in a little cameo here, playing the son of his real life father's character thing.
Was he supposed to be the son of Danny Glover's partner?
What are you talking about? Gary Busey.
Yeah, I know. Was he supposed to be the son of his partner from the other movie?
No, he wasn't his partner. Remember, Keyes was the government guy.
He was the bad guy. Who was his partner?
He had a couple. He was like on a team.
Also, what movie am I thinking of where Gary Busey plays somebody's cop partner?
I think you're getting this confused with 48 Hours, which is Nick Nolte.
No. I'm not. I swear to God, Gary Busey plays somebody's cop partner in a movie. Gary Busey. Whatever. I'll figure it out.
No, but so he's got a weird cameo in here just to make sure you really connect that, draw the dots and connect those dots.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely put that together while I was watching it and wasn't just distracted by the fact that Jake Busey was wearing Oakley glasses.
Yeah, and Arnold was apparently going to have a cameo, but his part was going to be too small, so he didn't want to do it. I
kind of thought he was going to be in the thing at the end.
Wow, that would be weird. I think it's a wise decision not to involve him, because might as well not do that. Because leave that to, you know, Dark Fate Final Terminator Destiny to do. Sure.
Also, yeah. By the way, Point Break is the movie I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
He plays Keanu's partner.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Very similar to The Predator.
So while you were talking about, yeah, exactly. While you were talking about canon and what was and wasn't borrowed and whether or not things should be clean slated when they are rebooted, can we just get right into the bits that this movie is contributing / modifying in the franchise? Particularly, you brought up Big Predator, which, regardless of where Big Predator fits with the Big Predators from Predators, this is another movie that, for some reason, thinks the Predator is not scary enough and that we need bigger Predators.
Yeah. And
I don't know about you, but I don't need that.
No, it's been wrong every single time they've done it.
The Predator is scary enough on its own. And in addition to the fact that while they were doing the also there are bigger Predators, they retconned regular Predator and said it's got human DNA.
Yeah, but they do that in a really weird way, where they don't really explain that. It just seems to be there because they come across, or I forget, they rationalize that somehow the Predators are modifying themselves using the DNA of the most dangerous predators,
right,
in the galaxy.
The reason when they kill one of the things that they're fighting, when they go hunting in search of the most dangerous game, the reason they tear their heads and spines out is not just as trophies, it's because they want to extract the spinal fluid and DNA from the competitor and use that to mix with predator DNA to make hybrid predator / whatever they just killed, just so that there's a combo of like predator and literally everything else in the galaxy. By the way, I don't know why they had to have like four lines of fast talking banter about whether or not it's the galaxy or the universe, but whatever they did. So the predators are synthesizing with everybody just because they can, and why not?
Yeah, and the movie doesn't explain it.
Is it like Predator plus human, Predator plus Martian, Predator plus some other alien, or are they just taking one and giving that one like all of the stuff? Like you're gonna get human and Martian and Jupiter alien stuff.
They don't say, and this isn't. I don't want to have to say this, but this is not how genetics works. You don't just get a bunch of DNA and then from people's spines and then inject it into a creature and you got like a super creature. That's not how that works.
They're very advanced and they have operating systems and things, and they can synthesize stuff. Probably, but
no.
Anyway, so that's another thing they retconned, the skulls and spines being for the purpose of genetic synthesis, which is stupid.
Yeah.
And then there's this other thing in here, which is ostensibly what we are led to believe is the plot of this movie until the end, which is that the predators know that humans are good combatants and fighters and stuff, but they also know we're real bad at taking care of the environment and we're going to go extinct sometime soon. So they want to help us combat.
Nope.
They made an argument about that that didn't turn out to be true.
No, what they want is their visits are increasing in frequency because they want to get as many samples as possible before the Earth is uninhabitable because of us doing stuff.
And then, but then they also said like maybe the thing on board the ship is a way to stop climate change, or no. Then also maybe they want to move into our planet when we die.
The thing that's on there is supposed to protect them or provide them with defense against other predators. It's not actually a weather device. So it doesn't, it's not going to fix climate change. It's just going to help them fight predators.
I don't know why that's important.
No, it's not, because it's literally one suit thingy. So it's like, okay, well, great. We can fight exactly one other predator with that. And that doesn't really seem to scale. But maybe there's plans. They can 3D print something. Who knows? But the that's one of the many messy things about this movie is it doesn't know... It doesn't put down a logical path for us to follow as the audience.
Right. So the movie ostensibly opens with... traditional predator, predator classic that we're familiar with, trying to come to Earth to give us a suit to help fight other predators, and then being chased by big tall predator who's real mad that predator classic is giving us a suit, and the big tall predator is going to kill predator classic and blow up the ship and blow up the suit because he wants to be able to hunt humans more easily. Or something.
Yeah, he refers to him as a traitor. But
a traitor, but like they're not even the same thing.
No, but it's also really strange because the predator, the predator classic, when it arrives, it doesn't like if it's trying to like help the human race or something, sure doesn't go about it in a logical way.
No, literally within the first 2 minutes that it's on the ground, it guts somebody and strings them up by the tree.
Uh-huh.
Which is terrible.
Yeah, and then they capture the predator, and they evaluate him in an underground facility where he's unconscious. And what's really strange about this is days have passed, and somehow that other predator that was chasing him is not in the picture, but then he shows back up again just in time for the stuff to ramp up.
Well, he had to figure out which black hole vector the original ship went through and then track it down.
It's so dumb. It's unnecessarily convoluted, and I know it's there to give us a buffer so that we can be introduced to the human characters in the movie. So they want to have your action that throws you into it, and then they want to introduce you to the people that you're supposed to care about. But they do it in a way where you're just wondering, is this chase still happening? Like, are we going to go back to that?
Yeah. If there's anything that describes a Shane Black movie, it's that it's going to be nonsensical chaos, mostly entertaining chaos, up until the last 10 minutes, and then they will explain what the previous 110 minutes of the movie were supposed to be.
Dislike it. The human people that we meet, it's Boyd Holbrook, who I definitely did not remember, but the second I saw that it was what's-his-face from Logan, then I was like, oh, that guy.
Yeah, he's good. I like him.
Yeah, discount Ryan Reynolds. So he's
I don't know. He's kind of a combo of a few Ryans.
Yes. I mean, he's fine. I like him better in Logan, where he gets the chance to chew the scenery and ham it up. Here, he's supposed to be such a straight man, and very serious about things that there's no fun. And I think it kills the what would draw us into rooting for or liking him. And then you have the kid in the school, and we are very quickly introduced to some irregularities about the kid, because Shane Black and maybe his co-writer, I'm not sure. I'm going to blame them both. They decided that autism equals super smart genius. Yeah. And it gets even more ridiculous at the end of the movie when it's supposed to be the kid is supposed to be the next stage in human evolution. And it's like, I don't know if you're sending in a coherent, useful message to anyone with this decision that you've made. Seems a little insensitive and weird, but anyway, that wouldn't be a Shane Black movie if it wasn't insensitive and weird. So the kid is getting bullied by dumb bullies who were basically poorly written and are just like, be bully, you know, do mm-hmm. bully thing. That's all. And then the kid gets the stuff that Boyd had mailed to his P.O. box because he hadn't been paying the P.O. box payments or whatever. So the mailman, who is Optimus Primal, if you're familiar with the cartoon series Beast Wars.
And, oh, I'm not. I thought you were making a joke, and I didn't know what the hell you were talking about.
Oh, no, no. It's a character actor, a Canadian character actor who does voice things. And he was also had a bad Russian accent on Stargate SG-1. Anyway, the mailman guy gives him the stuff, and then he opens it and gets the mask and the gauntlet thing. How the mask and the gauntlet were separated during that escape pod crash, I have no idea. It doesn't seem to make any sense. It's not like the gauntlet would like fall off of his arm. And the mask... And
it looked like the mask was taken off intentionally and sort of tucked behind the seat or something.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Maybe he has to stow his helmet in the upright and locked position before they land.
But... the Predator can go invisible, even though he doesn't have the little sphere thing that Holbrook later uncovers in the gauntlet thing. But then he swallows that and then doesn't poop for most of this movie.
And then suddenly, grabs his stomach, and then, 2 seconds later, he has it.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. At least it wasn't... pocket watch, but the kid starts playing with it, and because we've been introduced to the kid as having issues around hypersensitivity and being incredibly smart and not aware of certain social cues, he's able to sit there and just start plucking away at the alien device and figure out the alien language and what the aliens are up to, and how to control the cloaking device on the evil aliens, big alien ship. Which
he's just kind of poking at it, which is funny that he's like cloaking and decloaking the giant Predator's ship. Which I guess they're like universal remotes or whatever. Like he's not cloaking the Predator Classics crashed ship. He's cloaking the other Predator ship in the atmosphere.
Well, and that's if you go back to the Predators movie you watched last week, same sort of thing happens with Predator Classic can start up the ship that they came on and, you know, take off, and then other Predator can blow it up by pushing the thing on his other wrist thing.
Yeah, maybe they're just like really long range Bluetooth devices, and as long as there's a Predator ship in the atmosphere, they can connect to it and cloak it and decloak it and turn it on and off.
Seems like a really bad design.
It's for optimal flexibility. It's really intended to be used by a competent operator, and when it falls into the hands of somebody who's not familiar with it, then, you know, they can get into trouble.
Mm.
Or they can make whoopsies with their gauntlet arm.
Yeah, or they have civil wars, which happen every now and then. But Olivia Munn is introduced to the science facility. And Olivia Munn
has the worst introduction in a movie, I think, that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
She appears there as a crazy-eyed scientist lady who just kind of stares a lot and then gets whisked away into a top secret place where they have to stand in middle school PE showers naked and talk awkwardly to Jake Busey and then put on plastic clean room suits.
It's really bad and feels convoluted. I'm just gonna say this. There are a lot of people who have opinions about Olivia Munn. I will say that I generally find her to be fine. The roles that she has are not usually, you know, overly elaborate or really, you know, rely on a lot of skill. But she manages to execute what she's asked to do every time. Unfortunately, I don't think it's appropriate to have cast her as the biologist who basically wrote the book on evolutionary biology, according to Jake Busey. I feel like that's getting us into Christmas Jones territory. And
she's also on-call doctor to the government in the event that they need a doctor who understands evolutionary biology / aliens.
Yes, because one time she wrote a letter to the president when she was a kid, and now she's in a permanent file thing where they have to call her.
Saying, please call me if aliens.
Yeah. So, really terrible introduction, and I don't necessarily fault Olivia Munn for this. I fault the writers and the director for what they were thinking when they wrote this character and when they cast it. And there's even more ridiculous stuff that happens later when she's leaping from rooftop to rooftop with rifles, which doesn't really get explained for, like, why that's happening.
She's trying to shoot a tranquilizer in Predator Classic because it escaped.
Yeah, but they don't explain, like, where her military skill came from.
Well, she
this.
Doesn't have any skill. That's why when she falls over, she accidentally shoots herself in the foot.
Yeah, but then later on in the movie, she's running around with a machine gun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you hang out with enough soldiers.
It's just osmosis.
Yeah, exactly. You learn the moves, basically.
No, this is so bad. The writing, it's just bad. It's bad writing, bad casting. And fortunately, though, Olivia Munn... she came out against an actor that had been hired for this movie. There was a little bit of a whoopsie doodle. You may remember this from right before the movie was going to come out. But director Shane Black had hired his longtime friend, Steven Wilder Strigel, known professionally as Steve Wilder, for a minor unauditioned role in The Predator. He had appeared in Black's previous films, Iron Man 3 and The Nice Guys. Wilder has been a registered sex felony offender since 2010 when he pled guilty to enticing a minor by computer. Blah, 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 et cetera. I'm not going to continue to read the rest of that. But basically, Olivia Munn was like, no, you got to cut the scene. Like, I don't want to be in this movie with having the scene with this guy that I didn't know any of the stuff about, like that shouldn't be part of it. And made a big stink. It was in the press. It was not a good look for everybody because Shane Black's like, yeah, no, it's fine. We're gonna leave it in there. It's really important to the movie. Everything's okay. He probably should not have gone to bat to defend the unauditioned performance of his friend, who has a felony issues. I feel like that was a mistake. And the only other cast member who stood by Olivia Munn during this was Sterling K. Brown. So it's just like really messed up. While I don't like her character, while I'm not in love with how this was cast, etc., like, at least, you know, she's a decent human being and did the right thing. She also took down Brett Ratner, so I like that too.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying.
Yeah, well, Brett Ratner's awful too. But they you know, she's they do the thing where they look at the alien and go through the clean room, and they're poking at it, and then the alien wakes up because the ship enters the atmosphere reason, and Predator...
I thought it was just convenient timing.
And the Predator kills everybody because he's there to save us by killing us. Then he walks through the clean room, and Olivia Munn had to take off all of her clothes so that she could be decontaminated so the computer would let her out. But she's just cowering naked. This movie didn't need it. I'm not sure why it's there.
There because somebody said, how do we make Olivia Munn appear to the Predator to not be a threat so that the Predator will just look at her and ignore her and walk away? But also later in the movie, she needs to be threatening and be able to fight. So there has to be some sort of extenuating circumstance, in the way that the Predator has ignored sick people or children because he doesn't hunt them because it's not sporting.
Yeah, it's just they could have done that with her clothes on. The Predator smashes open the door, and then he goes on his rampage killing people and then gets out of the thing. There's the chase and the prison bus where Holbrook had been taken because he saw an alien and they're trying to cover it up. He makes friends with Trevante Rhodes, who you may remember from Moonlight. And you got Keegan-Michael Key, Thomas Jane, Alfie Allen. Am I forgetting somebody? No, I think it's them.
There's the one other guy who was sitting behind him. Augusto Aguilera.
Yeah.
He's like the only one I was previously unfamiliar with on the bus.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's worth mentioning that this doesn't make any sense, that he saw an alien that killed all of his marine homeboys out in the forest. So they are trying to figure out what happened, what he saw, and then they're going to pin it on him, saying he's crazy and has PTSD, and he goes in. They put him in the loony bin wagon bus because they're trying to use him as a patsy. But later when...
they should have put him in the patsy wagon.
The patsy wagon. Later when the Predator gets out and or people have seen a bit too much, i.e. Olivia Munn, the soldiers just go around shooting people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they know too much. Just kill them. So they very easily could have just gone like, oh no, Boyd Holbrook, you are you're a bad guy and you have PTSD and you killed your whole crew and then shot yourself in the forest. And then it was very sad, but now everybody's dead. But no, they had to put him on the patsy bus. Where he could have a very long extended conversation where everybody talked about their nicknames and what units they were in and, have very weird banter.
Very weird. I think Sterling K. Brown's character is probably the most offensive thing to me in this movie.
go on. Why?
'Cause he's, he goes from being this sort of affable government guy to being a mustache twirling murder everyone who saw anything about an alien. And like,
well, it's unclear who is in charge of him and what his overall motivation is. But I do appreciate that they gave him he's seen all the Predator movies, so he has all of the background information. So he's like, yeah, this one has that, and this one does this, and this is how they work, and that's just their dogs. Like, I don't really care. We got to go contain this stuff. Like, he knows what the deal is from the beginning of the movie, and he knows that in order to contain something as ridiculous as this, he's going to have to probably kill some people so they aren't risks to leak stuff. But at the same time, there's no clear goal for him other than... What does he say? Like, where do they come from and what do they want kind of stuff? Like, but they have like all the gear. They have most of his Predator classics, like helmet and wardrobe and stuff. So they're analyzing that and they want to find his ship. And I don't know, analyze the technology and stuff, but he's not really excited by the Predator being there, which is weird because he's like, oh, they've been here before. They were here in 88 and 97. It's like, well, there have been like three of them here. And you got this one and you're like, oh, it's no big deal now. We're very familiar with the Predator. I saw two other Predators, or I read a file about two other Predators. So no biggie that we got this guy here. Just casual, you know, not impressed.
It's very weird. And I really hate the showdown that they have at the end of the movie outside the alien ship. Because they're very obviously working, they should be working towards the same goal, because there's an 11-foot tall predator creature that's, you know, yeah, out to kick their butts.
There's a lot of people with misaligned priorities in this movie, where they should be focused on the fact that they are about to get destroyed and murdered by a gigantic 11-foot tall alien that shoots spikes out of its hand and can disappear. But they're all like, no, can't be deterred from my mission. We'll get over to the 11-foot tall predator shortly, but no big deal again. We really need to make sure that we're keeping this thing under wraps by getting Boyd Holbrook back on the bus, as opposed to stopping the giant predator that is terrorizing everyone.
Makes no sense. And
no,
I don't know why he focuses on recovering Boyd Holbrook, because Boyd Holbrook and the bus, they all disappear. So it's not really his number one priority, but he does dispatch an awful lot of people to go to Boyd's estranged wife's house and monitor her and do all this other stuff. And it's like you were saying, the priorities are really out of whack, because they should really be focused on Predator things. But this is such a weird movie. So Olivia Munn crosses paths with Holbrook and everybody, because she jumps on top of the bus when they're shooting the Predator, and everybody on the bus is won over into standing behind Boyd Holbrook, because they, what was it? He tells them the sob story about his kid and how he's got the thingy, and it's bad that he has the thingy and he needs to go protect his kid. And so then all of a sudden, everybody on the bus is like, yeah. And it's like, what? Wait, why? What? What? Huh? No, none of you are going to be like, I'm going to sit this one out. I mean, they briefly say it, but they do it in like a, you know, I don't want to go to that restaurant. Okay, fine, guys, I'll go to that restaurant kind of a way. Not like I'm going to go, you know, treason stuff, you know. It's very strange.
Yeah, tone, but then tone also is wrong. That, you know, they're soldiers, so all you have to do is insult them and call them cowards, mm-hmm, and the like, and then they will risk their lives for you because of that. That's how it works.
And then, so Olivia Munn shoots herself in the foot because she lost her balance. She lost her footing when she was on top of the bus and they were driving around. So she's incapacitated, and they haul her to a hotel room where they put her on a bed and then stare at her.
And this is a scene that, well, the writing and the directing and all of it could have used some serious editing, because there's this scene outside between Boyd and Trevante where they're just like sharing stories, like, hey bro, you good? Yeah, I'm good, bro, how about you? But then they just like cut to inside and they're like casually hanging out next to each other, and then they just look over and they're like, hey guys, stop being weird, because apparently the rest of the guys have never seen another human being or a woman before, so they're just like staging stuff around her on the bed for when she wakes up that they think she might enjoy having. But it's real weird, and that whole scene didn't need to be there at all.
No. And then she wakes up and then they're all giggling to each other, and she makes a move for the gun, and they're like, oh, I bet you that she would have done that. You owe me. And they're chuckling, and then she gets the gun, and she pulls the trigger on Boyd Holbrook, but it doesn't fire, and they again are just laughing about how they owe you know, the other one money from the bet that that would happen too. And it's just this is such like a tonally strange thing to put in
the
here.
The first time, maybe it was amusing for like two of the wackier characters to place a bet on it. But after that, Boyd is again the straight man through most of the movie. But the fact that he's kind of chuckling through this scene doesn't really create any trust, which is what he's trying to do with Olivia Munn's character. He's trying to just like, hey, calm down. You're on our side now. You got nowhere to run because they were trying to shoot you and we saved you by hitting soldier guy with a motorcycle.
Also, why would she believe them?
No, there's literally no reason.
Zero reason. She's been abducted by people who obviously seem to have some issues and taken to a hotel room where they watch her be unconscious for a long period of time.
They tried to shoot you to shut you up, and we saved you, so you can't go out there. You're better off here with us. All of which could be completely made up. And also, the implication is those soldier guys wanted to kill you, so your only alternative is to hang out with those weirdos. What about, like, I don't know, fleeing on your own and sequestering yourself somewhere? It's just like, well, I guess I have to be around other soldiers, and it's just these wacky ones are the only ones who can protect me.
Doesn't really make any sense. And so they get...
you gotta get the band together, though, somehow.
Yeah, and they get the RV, and they go, finally, to his... a strange wife's place, where she comes in and comes across all of them. And again, this movie has two whole scenes dedicated to surprising women by having a bunch of men standing in a room staring at her. But I don't know why that's it's a weird trend.
A lot of this movie is just Shane Black and his co-writer going, how weird would it be if this happened to the character? And they're like, yes, that would be weird. And then they didn't continue to answer those questions about, should that be in the movie?
Yeah.
How crazy would it be if we did this? Yes, write it down. It's in the movie. Well, not all of those moments need to make it into the movie.
No, just put it in your notepad. Save it for another time when it's suitable. It doesn't make any sense here.
You're allowed to have good ideas and less good ideas, and throw away the less good ideas so that the ideas that you do keep are better. But I would love some insight into Shane Black's writing process, because there is no discernible through line in his movies. They are impossible to follow in my brain. Like, I cannot keep things straight as to where we came from and where we are going. Like, I guess it's good that it keeps me on my toes and I don't really know where we're about to go. But at the same time, I'm not following what's happening in a way that is satisfactory and satisfying. It's just stuff is happening. And I'm like, cool. That was a really violent scene there where the predator, like, smashed somebody in half, or that guy's head blew up or whatever. That was very actiony movie. And then you go on to the next bit of the movie, and then nothing matters until the last 10 minutes when they're like, oh, he came here the whole time. He was here, he wanted to blow up the ship, and then also, by the way, steal your son with Asperger's, because they're going to breed him with predators so that there's a predator with Asperger's, because then he'll be smart and 11 feet tall and violent.
Doesn't make any sense. But the speaking of the kid, the mom's like, oh yeah, he, you know, was here and he left to go do the trick-or-treating thing or whatever, and he's wandering out there by himself. And then they try to like figure out, you know, where he would go if he was scared, and so they go to the school. I would personally have associated the school with bad things, but apparently the kid really likes the...
He went to the baseball field. Maybe he likes baseball.
And the big predator unleashes his predator dogs.
Also, we don't need predator dogs.
No, we don't need predator dogs, because then you just ask a bunch of questions about like what mastiff DNA they procured for that.
And the predator dogs are there like as like the we got to defeat the predator dogs before we get to the big predator, but they defeat them pretty easily. That's the other thing in this movie too. The predators are not nearly as good at fighting as like the original Predator was, and maybe it's because these predators are just sort of like, I'm just going to cloak and walk straight up to you and fight rather than being strategic the way the original Predator was. And that was a critique from the last one we saw too. But Big Predator here is just like, I'm big. Like, I don't have to be strategic. I'm just going to like cloak. And then if you see me, I'm just going to like hit you really hard or shoot stuff at you. But anyway.
Yeah. He doesn't even wear the Predator helmet. Which is really weird because they show you the Predator vision that he has, and he still has graphic overlays and stuff on top of it. And it's just like, but you don't have a helmet on.
Well, maybe they bred his DNA with a Raspberry Pi.
he's got some helmet DNA infused.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so they have to fight the Predator dogs, and they kill one of them, and then they wound another one.
They seem to lobotomize the other one.
Shoots him in the side of the head such that it calms down.
Yeah, all of a sudden it becomes like a puppy dog that follows them around.
Olivia Munn befriends the dog, and it's like her dog, and she's trying to protect the dog and hide the dog, and she wants to study the dog and pet the dog and feed it milk bones or whatever. But then, like, I don't know, it, like, helps her get out of the handcuffs when, again, for the second time, the military guys are just like, all right, we're done with you. I'm going to shoot you now. But the Predator dog is not useful. It's not there for a purpose other than, like, we could make a Predator dog and it'll be in some of the scenes.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Blade 3 Trinity. Where they had the Reaper dogs.
I don't remember that, and I don't want to.
Maybe we should watch the Blade movies one of these days.
Yeah, when they finally release the reboot with Mahershala, we'll do the Blades.
No, but they rescue the kid, and then there's a fight that takes them into the thing, and they're trying to play keep away with the Predator so we can't get the stuff back. But then the big guy shows up and rips out the spine and skull of the little Predator, which is weird because they said that the only reason why they do that is to collect their spinal fluid for the thingy. And it's just like, so I thought, fine, whatever. Take his spinal fluid and go do whatever with it. Doesn't matter. And they skedaddle, and like you said, they get captured another time, and then they're incompetently left in the hands of henchmen. Meanwhile, Sterling K. Brown takes the kid to go to the spacecraft, and
don't forget, because he has Asperger's, he's very smart. That means he can remember the maps that he saw in the helmet. And he just arbitrarily doodles them on paper whenever he has a pen.
Yeah. Also, yeah. I feel like I should say that, you know, autism and Asperger's are not necessarily all the same. Anyway, there's different stuff. So please go Google the thing.
I feel like they didn't do a ton of research on that.
No, I don't think they did any research on any of it. But so the kid opens the thing because he knows the code from, I guess, reading the thing and the little thingy. And then the big Predator shows up and it, you know, screws over everybody and blows up the ship. And there's more fighting and stuff. And then they regroup to go do the other thing. And then the whatever happened, more stuff. And then they get to the other Predator's big ship, and they hop onto it, and then there's a force field that chops one of them in half, and everybody's, you know, trying to get in there and stuff, and then Holbrook can apparently just, like, I don't know, shove his hand in through something and chuck a grenade in, which he does, and then he's able to get in there and fight and blah 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 blah.
They destroy the Predator ship surprisingly easily as well. You would think they've discovered interstellar space travel. Maybe they've learned how to make a better turbine that doesn't quite break so easily.
Yeah. And
but a couple 40mm grenades from the attachment on Olivia Munn's rifle, and it's smoking and heading for the ground. And then when Trevante decides to sacrifice himself, because I guess I blinked and I missed what happened. He was on the outside of the force field, but also he was injured somehow. So he just decided to, like, take a face-first dive into the turbine to blow it up and crash it.
Yeah, because they had all stupidly got onto the ship, and so he was going to die if the ship got into the upper atmosphere. So he thought he was going to do his best to help by doing this. It seems very fatalistic, but you know, his character had actually shot himself previously, so I guess that's just a trait. You know, Holbrook gets his kid back and all the stuff, the things, and the end of this movie, after the Predator's defeated and we don't see the Predator dog again, there's a lab and they're all playing with the thing that came out of an escape pod. It was programmed right to protect.
Yeah, big Predator blew up Predator Classic's ship, but they're like, hey, turns out that the gift that Classic Predator wanted to give to us didn't get blown up in the ship. It ejected itself because he wanted to make extra super double positive sure that we got his present, because it was very important. So it was double secret probationed in the ejection pod, and now we're trying to open it, and then they open it and there's a lot of steam and people are scared and stuff, and then it like pops up and they're like, what is it? It looks like it's dormant or whatever. And then J random scientist guy like pokes it, and it like jumps onto his arm, like one of the little wrist guys from the Predator, but then it turns into an Iron Man suit shaped like a Predator, with dreadlocks and all.
Yeah. And then it goes back off into the passive mode.
I should say it grows on him like an Iron Man 2 suitcase suit, not like an Iron Man 3 Shane Black suit.
Yeah, no, this is very just like magical particles just came out of nowhere kind of way. Where, you know, you just slide armor out from underneath the other armor, and just do that a bunch of times.
Sure.
And then that's how you do it. But
they didn't even do hand-wavy nanobots. They're just like, yeah, it's got this cool metal clunky sound and stuff too.
Yeah.
And then Boyd's like, that's my new suit, fellas. Cut to black, because some executive said that this is the first of a trilogy, and then Shane Black's like, well, maybe. I mean, I don't want to commit to anything, but yeah, maybe we'll make two more. I don't think they will, though.
No.
Based on this movie.
Which it's surprising to me, the amount of money that this made. So I guess it technically wasn't a bomb.
I think,
you know,
people are going to continue to go see Predator movies for a while until somebody makes a Predator movie that people like.
The Predators will continue until morale improves, so to speak.
I think there's just a lot of people going, come on, guys, give me something to work with here. Because at the end of the day, it's just a tall, ugly monster movie with wacky military guys. Like, nothing about this movie had to be Predator related.
No, and the bits and pieces of it that are Predator related, like the choppers line and all this other stuff, it's just like,
God. Whichever one of them wrote the choppers line and did a little fist pump in the air that they had like a really cool idea how to get the chopper line in the movie without being dorky or in a new fun way, somebody should have immediately kicked them in the nuts.
But it doesn't handle this material well. It doesn't, like we said, the original Predator movie is not incredibly deep. It is a guy who is a predator, who is on a mission to do this thing, who gets confronted with an alien who's a predator, and then it's a competition to see which one is going to survive, with cleverer and cleverer one-upping of things that occur.
And they even spend half this movie debating whether or not predator is the right word to use for this thing. Like,
Only
are we going to retcon what the predator came here to do and what its purpose is and all of this stuff, we're also going to retcon like just the intention behind it. And then they just, this whole movie was there to just turn the Predator franchise into a generic monster movie. Like nothing about this has to do with Predator.
Well, they made Predator the nickname that they were giving these things in movie, and they had the whole comedy routine of, you know, they're not even predators, they're hunters, they're, you know, like you know, bass fishermen. But
predators,
it's weird.
These days all have very peculiar names.
Yeah, but I take a big issue with abandoning the fact that this is about some sort of competition or contest between two entities to see who will come out on top.
It's about asserting dominance, and it's just like a pissing contest between combatants.
Yeah, and if you wanted to do an interesting take on that, by saying that, you know, being clever was important in some way, more so than just the violence, then the kid could have done something clever in this movie that undermined the predators in an unexpected way. Instead, he's just sort of this weird trophy thing, and
he
pushes buttons.
Turn on the shield or whatever to cut the giant predator's arm off, which was very weird because he went down like a slide inside the predator ship, and then on his way down hit a button on the wall and cut the predator's arm off.
Very specific button. But it's not done well, because now you've turned the predator into this other thing where it's this mission of the race to sort of assimilate the best attributes of humanity's DNA before we all make the planet uninhabitable, and then when it's too hot they'll move in. To what end? It's not really explained. We don't, you know, we've had so many of these movies, we don't really know anything about the like predator like culture or goals or anything. Like, they show up and do these retrievals, and the only thing that they can ever seem to think to do with the predator is to be like, there's a caste system. And it's like, come on. Like, you guys could do something. Like, I don't know. But
I mean, for a culture that's as ritualized as it apparently is with regard to hunting and combat, you would think that they would take internally, the predators would hold that stuff a bit more sacred and would probably be a little bit more passive around each other when it's not game time. Like, you know, it's like saying, like, professional football players, they don't go play flag football for fun around each other on the weekends. Like, they do it professionally. So, like, the predators take this seriously. When they go out on a hunt, they take it seriously. But when they're back home, they're not, like, fighting each other with internal politics about whether or not, like, they should share their gear with other races or they should merge with other people. Like, it's all about, I don't know, the way they do sort of like samurai or ninja movies, where it's kind of just like it's quiet until it's time to fight. But like, in my mind, that's what the Predator was originally. But now there's so much weird, just like space monster nonsense about it, that it doesn't feel that way to me.
Mm. Yeah, it's just, I have to say, just too bad they got rid of the cleverness. They made this thing that is a giant, twisting, chaotic knot of a movie.
It doesn't even have Ryan Gosling in it.
No. No, it has Boyd Holbrook.
I mean, I like Boyd Holbrook, but they should give him something to do other than run around in fatigues with guns.
Yeah. I don't know. I really dislike this. I think this is disappointing. Because it seems like everybody's learning the wrong lessons from what they've made previously.
I mean, they're trying stuff, I guess. Props for trying, but this one did not feel like they...
No props.
This did not feel like they really strayed more than half a degree off of the last few attempts. Like, they're not really revolutionizing stuff or really... Like, this was not the Logan to the X-Men kind of branching out.
No. And you've got... Here, I'll read this quote from Chief Executive Officer of 20th Century Fox, Stacy Snyder. We've got a Predator film coming out that is unexpected and utterly fresh. I just imagined that it would take 500 hours to read the script, that it would be interior jungle, exterior more jungle, and then fighting happens, comma. But Emma Watts went out and recruited Shane Black. From the first page, it didn't read like a Predator film. It's set in suburbia. There's a little boy and his dad at the center of the action. And I feel like that's exactly the wrong kind of thing to say about this. So, you know, just a bit of a disagreement with Stacy Snyder.
Yeah, just reword that and like, this time we took the T-Rex to San Diego instead of the other way around.
But that was also the second movie. That's what Predator 2 was.
That's a good point.
You know, they took the Predator, and took him out of the jungle and then took him to the jungle.
But Danny Glover has a child with Asperger's. And the kids are mean to him at school.
It's just so garbagey.
It's just unnecessary. You know, I'm a fan of simplicity when it comes to movie storylines. And writing and a lot of things. But, not when it comes to my computers. Those shouldn't be simple. Shane Black is the antithesis of simple, which I guess is fine for a certain kind of story. When it was The Nice Guys and it was like this cops and robbers story and they're really bad at being the cops. The chaos kind of like plays into that where it's just like, well, of course it's chaotic because they're terrible at their jobs. But in this one where it's like he's an elite special forces guy and sure, maybe he's got some wackadoo fellas following him, but there's predators here. Like the chaos does not jive and I don't know. Shane Black should keep making cool, fun movies, but just not Predator movies probably.
No.
I'm going to go click on him on IMDb to see if he has any Predator movies coming up listed.
No. Yeah. Well, I like you said, while they may have said some things about a possible sequel, I doubt very much it's going to happen. But, you know, this is another movie produced by John Davis, so whatever John Davis decides to do or produce with the series. Garfield? No. It's Jim Davis. Mm. John Davis is a movie producer. His first producing credit was The Predator.
Okay.
1987.
You think that's how he introduces himself to people at parties? He has it going, John Davis, I produce Predator.
Oh. Remember when you brought up Garfield?
Yeah.
I forgot. He was a producer on Garfield and the no. sequel, Garfield, The Tale of Two Kitties.
You ever hear Bill Murray tell the stories about those two movies and how they were just like such giant disasters?
No, although I believe it. Why does he tell the story about it being a giant disaster?
Oh, I think it was one of those things where they were like, they somehow found themselves like 75% of the way through production without having like a finished script. And it was a huge pain to get it done. And then the second one came around. He's like, all right, this time we're going to have the script done first and we're going to do this the right way. And then like he blinked and turned around and suddenly they're halfway through the movie again and they don't have a script. And he's like, what the hell just happened? How is this thing being made? And it's taking forever and it's terrible and I hate it and I want it to go away.
Hmm.
In a very Bill Murray way, which is weird because he doesn't talk about stuff very often.
No, he must be really ticked.
Well, I mean, there's that line in Zombieland about it.
No, I haven't seen Zombieland.
Oh, God.
I suggested that we do Zombieland. I put it on the list, and then you passed it over every single time. So,
I can't spoil this part of the movie for you then.
All right, well, we'll just leave it to be a secret.
Oh, it's a good line. Anyway, The Predator, which gave me hope that this movie was going to be about a singular solitary predator who hunted. But nope, there are still two predators, at least. Well, there's
two predators, two predator dogs.
Five more predators in a hologram where we see a syringe injecting something into a predator on a table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because synthesizing DNA and stuff.
Yeah, this is how it works.
That's how that works. You know, everyone gathers around in the prayer circle, and then the big robot with the syringe injects human DNA into you, and suddenly you're half predator, half human. What do the predators look like? What do the OGs look like? Is it the big guy?
I think the little guy is supposed to be the OG predator. He just has some modification.
The little guy has the human DNA.
Yeah, but that's also the predator that we've seen before, and all the armor that's been collected from these hunting missions and stuff. The big guy, I don't think, is the predator, because I think he's supposed to be the culmination of a lot more of this experimentation.
Do you think that when they combine a predator with a species, that predator is only supposed to go fight that same species to see that if they got the right human DNA to mix him with?
No, this doesn't make any sense either, because I don't understand why they don't really explain why is that other predator 11 feet tall. How does that help with any of the goals of a predator in being like a stealthy hunter?
You know, it's probably just all the growth hormones and stuff in the vegetables these days.
The HGH.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. They probably got a lot of GMOs in their avocados and stuff. I bet your predator eats an avocado whole.
I mean, do they eat vegetables?
I mean, wouldn't be surprised. You got a mouth like that, you'd be real good at eating stuff, so.
Well, I mean,
the giant predator takes a bite out of somebody like he's a friggin' spider or something.
Yeah. I mean, they gotta eat, they do need to eat some kind of vegetable, I guess, though, because, I mean, they need some fiber to, like, push stuff through. I mean, right?
I don't know, maybe they just use their mandibles to push it through. You know, we don't have any evidence that those are the only set of mandibles on the thing.
are you proposing that at maybe the other end of the gastrointestinal tract that there might be other mandibles?
I'm proposing that maybe it's mandibles all the way down. Maybe there's a series of them in the esophagus and in the intestine to help push things along.
so the mandibles just pass food from one to the other like a fireman, like,
yeah, exactly.
Pail line.
They hand the buckets from one person to the other to get the water from the lake to the house.
Yeah. Okay.
That's how a predator goes to the bathroom. Boy.
Well, I'm glad we got a laugh.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
And until next time, stay out of Predator franchise.
Do not go in there. The franchise or the bathroom. At this point, the franchise is a bathroom.